Welcome to the Aspen Chapel podcast with me, Nicholas Feasey. So this week is the second on the series that we're doing on friendship. And last week I defined friendship as the deepest level of support and encouragement to an end that is mutually enriching. The deepest level of support and encouragement to an end that is mutually enriching. And I think the mutual side is really important. It's not just about self-sacrifice. I think true friendship is mutually enriching, and that both sides come out of friendship enriched by the experience. And so in this series, we're going to look at whether or not we have true friendship with all the elements of our life. I mean, in a sense, really, this is about relationship with everything. But I wanted to define it in terms of friendship because it means when we look at this in terms of friendship, we're looking at how to have the greatest good in our relationship with everything. You know, in our relationship with the planet, do we have friendship with that? Do we have friendship with each other? Do we have friendship with our bodies? Do we have friendship with the earth, with our minds, with our senses? Do we have friendship with death, and so on? So, you know, it is a huge topic. And last week I posed the question, are we friends? And we looked at the friendship between people and possibly moving beyond friendships that are merely of a transactional nature. You know, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Moving from that transactional side of things to more of a soul friendship that's based on love, giving. Love being giving with no expectation of a return. We talked about those sorts of friendships being liberating, but also unpredictable, that they truly enable us to engage at the deepest level of support and encouragement to an end that's mutually enriching, but we don't necessarily know where they're going to go. And therefore, those friendships can involve risk because we do risk people taking advantage of us. And I think that in order to have those sorts of friendships, we have to develop some sort of deep friendship with our own souls. And that's really what I want to talk about today, deep friendship with our own souls. You know, Jesus' great command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's pivotal to the Christian religion because it shows us how to be friends with all things. We can love our neighbour as ourselves because we first love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, with all our strength. In fact, loving God with all our hearts and minds and souls is, I think, the key aspect of deep friendship. It's key to loving ourselves. It's key to loving others. It's key to loving the planet, to the earth beneath our feet. It's certainly key to loving our enemies and even to loving death. And so it's this friendship with our souls that I want to talk about today, our friendship with the ground of all being, with our friendship with the divine nature, with the cosmic mind, with God, or whatever you like to call it. I don't think it means you have to believe in God to have deep friendship. But it does help, I think. Just that we have to be able to be at peace with the essence of who we think we are. You know, to an atheist, that might mean something to do with the essence of our humanity. To a Buddhist, it might mean something of the self. To a Taoist, it would probably mean being one with the Tao, and so on. Now, it may seem obvious that we want to love God, that we'll want the deepest friendship with God. But in order to do that, we have, as Cyprian was saying, we have to first get ourselves out of the way in order to have that deep relationship. It means we have to be at peace with ourselves rather than being at war with ourselves. In his book, Annam Cara, John O'Donoghue talks about an inner friendship that embraces nature, divinity, the underworld and human world, all as one. he talks about, and I love this phrase, an ontological friendship. And that's what we're talking about here, the friendship that enables us to remain true to our inner voice, the one that can guide us into friendship with what Buddhists call the 10,000 things, which is really everything out there. That sort of friendship with the eternal enables us to have friendship with everything else. O'Donohue says that a friend, I like this as well, a friend is a loved one who awakens your life in order to free the wild possibilities within you. A friend is someone who awakens your life in order to free the wild possibilities within you. And no friend does that more than the divine nature. So our first real job in this journey of friendship is to realize our friendship with the essence within. And you know, we're all invited to that friendship. And our job is to open the door and let that friendship in. In the publicity I used for this event, when I sent around the email, I used Holman's Hunt's picture, which I've got here, of the light of the world. And this picture is Jesus at the door, knocking at the door. And there's always an interesting thing that there's no handle this side of the door when you look at that picture. And the idea is that the essence within is always knocking at the door. That's what this picture is about. And we have to open the door to let it in. That's our part of it, to open the door to let it in. It's overgrown and it looks like a long unopened door. You can have a look at it afterwards. And that's the concept we have to bear in mind as we look at the subject of friendship with the divine. The invitation is always there. We have to be prepared to open the door and let that friendship in. I think most of us here, you know, at the chapel admit to the divine nature bit of things. But in our minds, we always like to still pretty much stay in control as to what's going on. Well, we're happy for there to be a divine nature. But I've said this before, but what we tend to do is to invite God in, or the divine nature, into as a lodger. Come in as a lodger rather than participating as a member of the family. We say, yes, I know that you're real. Come in and live in that small room in my house in the upstairs attic. I'll come and visit you once a week, unless, of course, I have family commitments or the skiing or it's spring break, and then I might not be able to come as regularly as normal. In the meantime, please don't come down unless I invite you. Rest assured, I will be thinking of you. I may even ask you to help me when I'm in trouble. And in those instances, I will call you up and perhaps you will just do your best to help. If there is a dire emergency, I may even invite you to come into my living room and be with me for a bit. But when that's over, I will expect you to go back to your room and stay there. I'll be able to handle things from then on. I mean, that's the sort of way we tend to think about that. And it's very different to sharing your house with God, which is what I've called cosmic hospitality. And that's like, come in and live with me. Have the biggest room in the house. Would you like to redecorate? When would you like your meals? How shall I arrange the house in a way that suits you? You know, that is genuinely living together. We have that sort of friendship with God. In order to do that, we have to practice that cosmic hospitality. And our role is to host the divine within us. And that's not difficult, given that the divine is already within us. We just have to become accustomed to this house guest, as we would put it, rather than ignoring it. In fact, you know, of course, we're living in the divine's house, if we would but know it. You know, we are the house guest of the divine, but we think we own it, which is why we treat everything like we own the world, you know, but we don't. We are a guest here. We have been invited in. You know, we didn't ask to be, we are invited to live our lives within us. And for us to do that, in order to actually start to realize that, we have to do the age-old journey, which we've mentioned many times before, that journey from the head down to the heart. The journey from the head to the heart is the journey we have to undertake in order to have this cosmic hospitality. But our minds always want to survive, and they're more interested in that than they are in paying attention to some nebulous reality that may or may not be within us. You know, give it the benefit of the doubt, but, you know, we have to stop the mind and listen to our hearts, which, of course, you know, we do in meditation, which is why we tend to bang on a lot about meditation. I mentioned a little bit of that quote from Rowan Williams last week, and I've got the full quote today here. He said, "To put it boldly, meditation is the only ultimate answer to the unreal and insane world that our financial systems and our advertising culture and our chaotic and unexamined emotions encourage us to inhabit." He says, "To learn meditative practice is to learn what we need so as to live truthfully and honestly and lovingly. It is a deeply revolutionary matter." That's because it turns us from the insane world that the mind witnesses and wants to sort of join in with, and takes us into the inner world in order to make that friendship with the source of all being. And I think the key words here are to live as truthfully and honestly and lovingly. That's what the aim is. And when we make house room in our hearts for God, we turn ourselves into loving beings. And, you know, just to rehash, you know, how that works, you know, I've always said that love is the currency of the universe. It's what really makes everything go round. It's the way that it works. You know, the dawn of evolution, you know, the Big Bang arrives, and it arrives, the planets arrive with no expectation of return, they're just given, and therefore it could be said that, you know, the planets and everything has arrived out of love, given with no expectation of return. And that love came from, you know, an ordering DNA that led to the unfolding of life and all creation as we know it. It was given with no expectation of return. That loving nature brought each one of us into being. We're given our lives with no expectation of return. No one has asked us for anything. We were just given life. It was a gift of love. And so the ground of all being, the basic, the currency of the universe, I would want to put forward, is love. Giving with no expectation of return. Which is why the Bible says that God is love. And when we give ourselves fully to that inner self within us, when we give ourselves in, you know, when we actually focus on that, when we go from the head to the heart, we give ourselves to that ground of being with no expectation of return. You know, we don't meditate to get enlightened or for greater peace or to become more successful or even to become more spiritual. In meditation, we just fully give ourselves to our hearts, to God, with no expectation of return. The act of prayer, the act of meditation is the reward itself. It's an act of love. And in doing that, we ourselves then become love. We become love. And in becoming love, we go back out into the world as love, as a manifestation of love that is the center of all things. And this is what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your strength, because that's how we can love our neighbor as ourselves. The first friendship we have to make is that friendship with that God within. And meditation is not the only way to make that friendship. There are as many ways of making that friendship as there are spiritual practices. Anything. Could be walking in the mountains, could be praying, could be chanting. Anything. It's the same. You know, meditation is just one that I bang on about. But anything you do that is a spiritual practice, that is something you do with sacred intent, is a spiritual practice. All spiritual practices are really just ways of making friends with God, of giving God house room in our lives, of offering her the master bedroom. And our lives are about cultivating that friendship. Again, that quote from Rowan Williams that I use often, spirituality is the cultivation of a sensitive and rewarding relationship with eternal truth and love. He's really saying in that that spirituality is the cultivation of friendship for the divine within. We're looking for the deepest level of support and encouragement to an end that is mutually enriching. It is a relationship. It is a two-way thing. We open the door and we invite the divine into our lives, and the result is mutually enriching. We get enriched, and in return, we enrich the purposes of the divine in the world by making our contribution in love. But it's an ongoing thing. You can't take it for granted. Each day, in fact, each moment, we're asked to make that invitation, to open that door. And then we in turn are invited into our true home, which, as Thich Nhat Hanh says, is the present moment. This process brings us into our true home, which is the present moment. And it's only from that place, from being in our true home, that we can invite others in. If we're to practice cosmic hospitality, we can't invite people into a place that is not our true home. To do that is like taking a room in the Jerome and inviting people in and saying, "Welcome to my home." It's not your home. It's a home you've fabricated out of your money and other people's efforts. We do it all the time. "Come and spend time with me," we say. And then we only let them spend time with that part of us that we've specially prepared for guests that we invite into our space. I love that the old adage, which says, "When your guru comes to call, never tidy your room." Never tidy your room when your guru comes to call. It shows disrespect not to let your guru see the true way that you live. And it's the same with inviting others to be friends. We're not inviting them into our true home, which is the present moment. If we're not doing that, can we form a true relationship with them? You know, then we're inviting them. If we're not inviting them into the present moment, which is our true home, what we're inviting them into is some idealized, fabricated reality that we expect them to believe is our true self. In fact, we're just being nice. We just got our nice face on, you know, our Sunday face on. And as a result, that friendship will become just another idealized, fabricated reality that won't stand the test of time. No, we begin our journey into friendship by going within, by taming our minds and embracing our hearts, by listening for the still small voice within us that will be full of love and will enable us to have that love in our lives. And in this loving act, there is no expectation of return. We just become love. We become one with the divine within us, and we enter into the sacredness of the present moment. And we take that sacredness out into our lives as we live our lives in our true home, which is the present moment. And we can therefore practice cosmic hospitality and invite our neighbours in and love our neighbour in the same way that we've loved ourselves by loving God. That's what we have to do. That's what I have to do right now with you here in friendship, is to be in that present moment, transparent with you, and invite you into that. Make friends with God. It's the only way to make friends with the world. Thank you. Thanks for listening. If you feel moved to make a donation to the chapel, please go to aspenchapel.org. Thank you. And if you'd like to receive these podcasts regularly, subscribe to the Aspen Chapel through Apple, Google Play, YouTube, or any other outlet.